भगवति भारत। अद्योतानं मधर्मशं तदात्मानं श्रीजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता। धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय शम्भभामि युगे युगे, शम्भभामि युगे युगे। हरेर्नाम हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामैव केवलम्। कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा। कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे
Hare Krishna. Welcome to the weekly Krishna Consciousness Program. And once again, I'd like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. And today we are holding a very special program. We're having Jagannath Isnan Yatra. What that means is Lord Jagannath and his brother Baladev and sisters Subhadra Maya will have public abhishek. That is, the public will get an opportunity to bathe the lordships. Please come along and join us and earn some piousness in your life by bathing Lord Jagannath. Make sure you are there on time and don't miss out. Remember, today is Jagannath Isnan Yatra, so come along and get an opportunity to bathe Lord Jagannath. Continue with the Ramayana. Remember last week we heard how KK asked for her two boons when Dasarath went to her palace. We'll continue from there. The mighty Dasarath lay there on the marble floor, weak and unconscious, like the fierce deer, frazzled and stunned by the ferocious lion or the colossal elephant stung and brought down to its knees by the venomous serpent. Thus was writhing on the cold floor, his energy, his strength and his power completely drained out of him. He was screaming in agony. Such pain was alien to him. Never before had anyone managed to strike at this very, at his very being, his heart, with such precision. He let out a long, excruciating wail, a continued praise, final cry of help before being devoured by the predator. His breath was hot like the brick kiln, his tongue dry like the parched land, and his eyes crimson like the setting sun. Drawing together the last ounce of his strength, Dasrath spoke feebly, "O cruel woman, do you wish to annihilate the Ikshvaku race? Why could I not say that I was marrying a little female serpent? O Keke, you have never behaved this way before. I am shocked that such a sinister person existed under that honey-coated skin. Perhaps this isn't your talking. Perhaps you are mouthing someone else's words. Perhaps someone else is controlling you. Or perhaps you are possessed by some evil spirit. I can't think of anything else that justifies such petty and condemnable behavior by a queen of the Ikshvaku race." KK snarled back, "I am not controlled by anyone, nor am I haunted by some evil spirit. The only thing haunting me right now is a question. Is my husband, the king of Ayodhya and the protector of Dharma, a liar?" Dasrath heaved himself up, his legs still trembling. He looked down at KK and tried to persuade her to rethink, at least retract one of the two wishes. "I have no problem with Bharat becoming the king, but why are you adamant about sending Ram to the forest? I thought you claimed not once but multiple times that Rama is better than Bharat. How can you ignore the fact that Ram always treats you as his mother and serves you more than he does Kaushalya? In fact, he takes care of you much more than your own son Bharat does. Rama is a gem who has won the heart of each citizen of Ayodhya. Even innocent children in Ayodhya will mock your wicked shenanigans. Give up this desire unless you want to embrace a lifetime of infamy. For once the world can do without the sun, the crops can survive without the water, but Dasrath cannot exist without Ram. Ram's beauty is the tonic that has rejuvenated my fading youth. No good wife schemes the death of her husband. That's what you will be known for if Ram were to leave for the forest. If I ask Ram to give up the kingdom to Bharat, he will happily part with it. Please abandon this idea of banishing him. I am an old man now. I am tired and need comfort and not anxiety. I, Dasrath, the king of Ayodhya, humbly beg you to relent. As I implore you, I touch your feet with my hand. O lady, be gracious to me and the entire kingdom." Saying so, Dasrath lay prostrate on the floor. Only this time he had his helpless head placed at the feet of a woman he had never mistaken for strength. The cold and haughty, tight-faced KK stood unmoved. Unaffected, KK shook Dasrath off her feet and walked away from him. She began sermonizing with the words that pierced Dasrath like dart pins. "The ocean never crosses its limits once it makes a promise. It is more important for the person to keep his end of the unconditional promise he made rather then question the ethics behind the conditions put forth by the receiver of that promise. A person who says something and does something else lacks integrity. How will you face the virtuous sages? What will they think of you? Will you tell them that your wife saved your life and despite vowing to recompense her for it someday you have yet to repay that debt and you are living off her mercy merely because of your weakness for your son? O king, you belong to the dynasty of King Shivi, who ascribe more value to truth than anything else. I am sure you remember that once a pigeon had sought his protection as his subject, and he had promised to keep her safe. A little later, an eagle had attacked the pigeon, claiming her to be his natural food, but the king shielded the pigeon and saved her life. The eagle questioned this bias, reminding the king of another responsibility, that of providing food for the eagle too. There was logic in the eagle's argument, yet nothing could convince the king to break his promise and let the pigeon free for the eagle to feed upon. To be fair to both, he traded a portion of his own flesh, equaling the weight of the pigeon, and offered it as food to the eagle. Don't you feel inspired by such a powerful promise maker in your ancestry? The great king Alaric attained fame by keeping his promise. He had granted a boon to a blind Brahmin who wanted his eyes. The king sacrificed his own eyes to fulfill his promise and thus restored the eyes of the Brahmin. I'm neither asking you for your flesh nor your eyes, Dasrath. I am only asking you to send Ram away. The Vedas glorify truth as the highest goal to be pursued. In fact, the Vedas declare truth to be Onkar or Prano, or God Himself. One should adhere to truth without thinking of these consequences. Truth itself becomes a shield that protects one from all calamities and difficulties. Now I make a promise. If Ram is coronated and not exiled, I will consume deadly poison and embrace death. Better death than a life forced to witness my rival Kausalya being honored. Dasrath's head was throbbing and pounding, and he was convulsing on the cold floor. Despite all the pain he was going through as a father, Dasrath was still king of Ayodhya, and he was conscious of his responsibility towards his people. He forced himself on his feet yet again, this time to save Ayodhya from the disaster, and more importantly, to save himself from inglorious death. People will label me a fool if I pander to your every whim. What will I tell all the kings and well-wishers with whom I had consultations this morning? What will I tell Kausalya, Sumitra, and the innocent Sita? People will say that I have sold my son. How can you be happy seeing Ram wearing garments made of coarse tree bark? As he spoke, his grief took the shape of anger, and he burst out. A hunter plays soft melodies to entice the innocent deer, and when the poor animal approaches him, he slits his throat. All these years you have been enticing me with your kind words, and now that I am innocently close to you, you are cutting off my sustenance, just as a man naively keeps a rope and unaware that it could be used to strangulate him. I have nurtured you, never once knowing that you could become the cause of my death. Bharat is as virtuous as Ram. he would never accept the kingdom this way. And if he does, I will disown him and bar him from performing my last rites. If Ram leaves Ayodhya, this city will become haunted and your son will rule a barren kingdom. What kind of a wife are you? You have desires that are so harmful for your husband. Just as suddenly as Dasharatha has erupted with rage, he became vulnerable again. Yet again he fell at her feet. I beg you, Kaikeyi, don't ruin everything I have so painstakingly created. I am your husband, an old man and a king, but I still fall at your feet and humbly beg you to change your mind. Dasharatha seemed like a demigod flung down from the heavens upon completion of a deserved duration of his stay in the heavens. His waxing eyes stared at the bright moon, but they reflected deep darkness. It seemed almost as if he was stopping the moon from disappearing and the sun from appearing. Although he wanted Kaikeyi's torture to stop, he certainly did not want a new day to unfold and bring with it the horror he was so trying to avoid and a change he was so desperately trying to starve off. Dasharatha contemplated how a frightening dream had woken him up from his sleep the previous night and how tonight life itself had become a nightmare. The previous night he had asked for the horror to end, but today he seemed not to want the torturous night to end, for the end of the night would bring with it a lifetime of destruction. He wanted to hold on to night that was fast slipping away. As the eager sun rose over the horizon, its tender rays spreading cheer among the hopeful citizens, Dasharatha covered his face, not wanting to face the sun. Sunbeams had never seemed harsher than at this moment. It was about time the sun bowed to her wishes, thought Kaikeyi. Royal musicians and bards entered the room to wake up the king and queen according to stately tradition. Dasharatha waved them away. What meaning did royal traditions have now that loyal traditions have been abandoned? Dasharatha felt like a horse flogged with the morning star, amazed with the spikes. 100 times over through the night, Kaikeyi's words had felt like lashings that had drained the life out of him. Feebly, he requested her to summon Ram before passing out yet again. Dasharatha shut his eyes to hope in a morose corner of his once favorite palace. Vasishtha, the royal priest and spiritual scepter of Ayodhya, stood on the banks of Saryu River and closed his eyes in a silent prayer to the Rishi rising sun. With cupped palms full of water and a heaving heart full of hope, Vasishtha looked towards the sun god, the originator of solar dynasty. From this day forth, a new sun would rise over the solar dynasty, the sun prince Ram. Vasishtha asked the sun god to shine on the son of Dasharatha and make him a replacement. Fresh after the morning spiritual practices, Vasishtha stepped into the city with cartloads of auspicious ingredients for the coronation ceremony. As this grand procession entered the city, hundreds of beaming citizens, guests and onlookers who had lined the streets to watch the biggest spectacle of their lives hooted and cheered. Each of them had spent hours the previous day cleansing their homes, their courtyard and the streets of Ayodhya. In the hundreds of cartloads were pots containing various essential items. There were pots full of holy waters from every river in the world, honey, milk, yogurt, clarified butter, pounded rice, innumerable fruits, flowers, colors, color powders, blades of the dharba grass, our special foods like cold nishtimsa, a golden jug, a tiger skin in various types of fragrances, an elephant walked right behind, preceded by a golden chariot drawn by four royal horses, and just ahead of it, four bearers carried an ornamental palanquin, and right in front was Vasishtha. As the carts passed by, citizens lost count. They were astounded by the preparation and the detail that went into it. There was promise of never before witnessed grandeur. Vasishtha entered the royal courtroom of Ayodhya and soon began making arrangements for the coronation. His expert management ensured that everything was meticulously down to the last detail, and all was set for Ram's coronation. A quick consultation with the royal astrologer, and Vasishtha knew it was time to call the king for the initial proceedings before the actual ceremony. He instructed Sumantra to invite the king. Dasarath was not in his palace, so Sumantra went to the next obvious place, KK's palace. He knew Dasarath all too well and was certain that whenever he needed solace and comfort, KK's was the palace he chose to spend his night. Sumantra had noticed traces of nervousness in the old king as everyone left the courtroom the previous day after the announcement of the coronation. He did not know why the king was ruffled, but he was wise and experienced enough to sense it. And having observed that the king was out of sorts, Sumantra guessed that he most likely spent the night with KK. This old minister, advisor, charioteer, and confidant of Dasarath was loyalty personified. Although a sutta or a charioteer by birth, Sumantra's wisdom, accurate foresight, and immense loyalty and has seen him being installed as the senior most minister in Dasarath's big M. He had free access anywhere in the kingdom of Ayodhya, be it to the innermost precincts of the palaces or the private chambers of the king. Sumantra could slip in and out of all the corners of the kingdom as and when he felt like it. But Sumantra made sure that he did not misuse his freedom and honor. He always remembered his humble beginnings and was grateful for the opportunity to serve. Sumantra walked into KK's palace and announced his presence in the front of the king by singing his praises. Just like the sun awakens the earth and sustains all beings, I awakened our glorious king, who is like the earth that ensures the welfare of his subjects. With the passage of the night, the most awaited day has arrived. With each new day, the sun renews hope in everyone. Similarly, a new king renews hope in the kingdom. Get up, O king, and instruct the waiting sage Vasishtha so that the coronation proceedings may commence. The kingdom without a king is no better than an army without a commander or the night without the moon. Ignorant of the night-long drama, Sumantra innocently continued with his eulogy until he thought he heard the deep sigh of a wounded lion. Why do you flog a dead horse? Your words, which would calm my frayed nerves on other days, are today provoking me. Immediately sensing that he had inadvertently overstepped some boundaries, Sumantra retreated this and stood reverently in a corner, waiting for some direction from the royal couple. The Queen reacted first with an air of authority. KK walked up to the rattled minister and told him, "The King is brimming with joy about Ram's coronation, and all this excitement had kept him awake through the night. That lack of sleep is taking its toll on his aging body. There's only one solution to the king's fatigue: Ram's presence." Sumant understood what was expected of him and left the palace to do his bidding. Outside, many of Ayodhya's prominent citizens and experienced Brahmins who had performed an all-night vigil chanting holy mantras to invoke auspiciousness were waiting for the king to step out. When instead they saw a lone minister, they were perturbed. They hurled a barrage of questions and doubts at the minister. "Why don't you have the king with you? What's wrong? Didn't you tell him that the pushy star had already set off on its arc and the auspicious time for the coronation is fast ticking away? With so many heads talking and pushing him back," Sumant realized that the precious time was being lost and that he had to retrace his steps to the king. KK had no doubt implied that he should fetch Ram, but Sumant decided on a reconsultation with the king on his priorities at the moment. So we'll stop there. We'll continue next week.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna